you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but everyone who drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. On the last and greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him." By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. And the men came to Isaac and said, "We've found water." In a sense, that's the total content of the gospel message. It's what we're called to go out and say. It's what we're called to express in our outreach. It's what we're called to express in our life together. We've found water. Water. We've found living water. We've found the living water that won't just quench our thirst in this moment, but will give us eternal life. And in that passage in John 4 that I quoted from, where Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, what he literally says there is not so much whoever drinks, it's whoever sips. Just one sip of this living water will change you. Water is essential. We know water is essential for life. I say to people when they're being baptized, I say we need to remember that water symbolizes, the water of baptism symbolizes a number of things, the first of which I don't recommend you do when you're in the baptistry, which is to drink it. But we know that a human being can survive weeks without food, but only days without water. It's essential to life. We depend on it for the growth of plants, the survival not just of humans, but of animals. We depend on it for cleansing. And indeed, when we baptize people, we are remembering the fact that we need the new life that comes from the living water. We're remembering the fact that we need the cleansing that comes from Christ's death on the cross. We're remembering that we need the work of the Spirit in our lives if we are to grow. It's a very powerful symbol, this symbol of water that we discover in the Scripture. And of course, in Isaac's day, these nomadic groups, although Isaac was in the process of transitioning from being a nomadic group to being a settled group, it would seem, at this stage, but one of the most important things that they need for life is water. It's vital to them as individuals, it's vital to them as a community, just as spiritually speaking. We cannot be a Christian without the living water that Christ offers us, nor can we be the community Christ calls us to be without the living water of the Spirit, forming in us the likeness of Christ. Isaac decided to go back to the wells that his father Abraham had dug and to use them. The Philistines, we're told, had stopped them up, had filled them up. But stop them up in Hebrew actually means a bit more. It also means to have hidden them. I mean, basically the wells were there, but what you do is you just put rocks and boulders down until you fill it up the top, and then you make the top look like the rest of the land around it. The well has gone. And for some of us, that's a bit how we feel in our Christian life. There used to be a well where we depended, where we knew we could go for refreshment, for spiritual renewal. And as time has gone on, all sorts of stuff, because of the enemy's work, all sorts of stuff, all sorts of boulders and bricks and waste have been poured into that well and filled it up until it looks no different to anywhere else. But Isaac said, the wells are still there. The water in the wells is still there. We find the wells, we dig them out, we've got the water. And some of us need to recognize in our lives where wells have been blocked up. It may be the well of prayer. And somehow that time that once we spent in prayer, we have lost. And that time looks just like the rest of life now. Or that time for reading the scriptures. Or that time for giving in service of others. But the wells have become hidden. And we need to come to God in His grace and ask Him to show us where the wells are. And occasionally, there'll be a digging for a new well, and water will be found in a different place, and there will be great rejoicing. We've found water. It was a song they used to sing in the Salvation Army. It goes like this. It says, go back to the old wells where the waters are sweet. Go back to the old wells where joy and duty meet. The waters of the old wells will your spirit restore. Go right back to the dear old wells. Leave them no more. We've got to find them and claim them. And keep going back to them. Have the wells where we once drunk been blocked up and hidden? Jeremiah sees another issue that we have, and that is the issue that God has provided adequate supplies of His living water. But we decide that we will find our own life. Thank you very much. Jeremiah says, on behalf of God, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water. You know, here am I, the spring of living water. All they have to do is come to me for life. the second sin, they have dug their own cisterns. But they're fragile, feeble things, and they're broken, and broken cisterns don't hold water. This was a great issue. And the people of Israel received with joy the prophecy of Ezekiel when he said, one day, out of Jerusalem, the river is going to flow, but is going to begin as just a little trickle, but as it goes further and further, will get deeper and deeper. And whereas at the beginning you can just paddle in it, it will get to the point where it will be swimmable, and the river will become so wide you won't get across it. But this water will all be living water. Precious living water. Even in the most resistant places to growth and possibility, trees will begin to grow and they will bear fruit. And of course, Jesus was saying on that Feast of the Tabernacles when he said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. He's saying, I'm the one who's initiating the flow of water from this place. All people will have to do is just come and take one sip. To be healed. To be saved. To be made whole. But it means turning away from that stagnant puddle back to this refreshing source of life-giving water. Almost the last words of the Bible are words about water. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come, and whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. It's saving water. It's healing water. It's not magic water. Because it's about coming to a person. It's just a metaphor. But it's about coming to the one who can make all the difference. And as we come to communion this evening, and as we seek the Lord again, in a sense, even as we drink from the cup, we're able to remember that he said, take, drink, living water. Just as he was going to say, take, drink, this is my blood. Because it was his blood that would release the living water. I don't know where you are this evening. All I know is that this was the word I was given to bring this evening. And it may be there are those here who need to get back to the old wells, who need to turn away from the man-made cisterns and the places where they've been seeking life and find the reality that comes from God's Spirit alone. It may be that there are those who need to immerse themselves in the water of Christ's mercy so that they can know truly that their sins are washed away. There may be those who need to be healed. And we're going to sing a song. And if anybody would like prayer,